Good to see all of you this evening. It's been good to be with you Saturday and this morning. Before I begin my lesson, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Begin with me in a word of prayer. Our most gracious and holy Father who art in heaven, we are so thankful for your love and your kindness. So thankful, Heavenly Father, for you helping us see your will, our lives, and dear Heavenly Father, the way to heaven. And thank you so much for your blessings and for your grace. Please help us, Heavenly Father, to have a heart that belongs to you. For it's these things we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You know, life's kind of short. You say, well, man, I'm 13 years old. I've got a long time. Well, I'm not 13, and I'm here to tell you, life is short. Sometimes you'll go through life thinking certain things are important, and after a while of living and maturing, if you love God and you love others at all, you begin to see what is important and what is not important. What is valuable and what is not valuable. What is needed and what isn't needed. What you should pursue and what you shouldn't pursue. What you ought to give yourself to and what you shouldn't give yourself to. Do you know that most of the problems in life come from you and I living down here on this plane, keeping our focus on the world around us, the material world that we live in, instead of really focusing on what God wants us to give attention to, which is not ourselves. Now, you do understand that. That I die to self, to the old man. So life is not about self. Life that is really lived is about other people. And you engaging them out of love because you really care about them. Now this lesson will mean a lot to those who really do care about loving other people. There are basically two kinds of hearts. The heart that is given to God and the heart that is given to the world. And when I say given to the world, I'm not talking about you being engaged in some overt sin and some great list of sin. I'm talking about you being given to the world because it becomes the priority in your life. The things you chase, the things you want, the things you think you have, the things you need. And by doing so, it takes away the time, the energy, the effort that you would have to give to the life of somebody else who's in your life that God has placed you stewardship over because He put them in your world. Now look what Jesus does in Luke chapter 12. And let's begin in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But He said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And He said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Isn't it amazing how we chase so hard money, things, position, comfort, trying to create assurance for ourselves, that we spend all that time and all that energy doing that while we let people drift past us. They came in our lives and they leave our lives. We never touch them. We never engage them. We never really thought about them because we're so wrapped up in this material world that we live in. And nobody more so than the society that you and I live in. Success is by your possessions in our society. And we get trapped so much by it. Well, you know, you got to work, you got to have money. Sure, you got to have all these things. God knows you need those things. But they tend to end up possessing you and I. By the way, life is not in my possessions. Life is not in my getting. Life is in my giving. Not getting, giving. And if you're a child of God and you love God and you believe that He loves you and that you know there's a higher calling for us as we reach out to other people and impact them in our lives, you know that you are not to be a taker, but a giver. You don't take from people. You don't kill their spirits. You don't hurt their attitudes by your own selfishness and your own desires and you wanting to have your own way in carrying out your own agenda. See, a child of God doesn't do that. A child of God doesn't live to get what they want and then what's left over they might give to you. That's not the heart that God wants. That's not God's heart. Now watch how Jesus expands on this thought. Verse 16. And he told them a parable saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. And I will tear down my barns and I will build larger ones and there will be, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You know, that's amazing. I don't know if I have tomorrow. I do know I have today. So what am I going to do with today? Am I going to hoard the day, be so covetous that the day is about me, my agenda, what I want in this day, what I want to accomplish as I ignore those that are around me, not giving them just simple time, engaging them in their life and letting them know that they're loved by somebody? Here's a man who thought, okay, boy, I've got it made now. And God called him home. You see, this world does not have value. It's not worth a soul. The whole world is not worth a soul. Do we really understand that? That the world is not worth one soul. Am I going to be known as somebody who gave or somebody who took? Somebody who always needed or somebody who looked to fill the needs of others? How am I going to be seen? What's going to be said? I know one thing. God knows who I am. God knows whether or not I really want to reach out. And so I don't make people in my life or in my family suffer because of my wants and my desires and my agenda and how I want things to turn out and how I would like or what I would like to have. I don't purposely stress them or anybody else. And I don't spend to the point or engage life in the material sense to the point that I don't have anything to give them. I'm supposed to give. You know, it's interesting how parents will allow their lives to be taken up with all these things they've gone after. A home, cars, things, possessions, you know, clothing, position. And at the expense, their children suffer because the children don't get a whole lot of time, a whole lot of personal time. A whole lot of engaging. Of course, if you're not that kind of parent, that's wonderful. But when you have so much that it takes all your time to clean, scrape, maintain, and attend, and cost you your money to do all of that cleaning, scraping, attending, and maintaining, you have cheated people in your life. You are a taker. You are not a giver. Well, yeah, I don't go in the bar. It's true. I don't have to go in a bar to be covetous. I don't have to commit adultery to be covetous. I don't have to lie and cheat to be covetous. Covetousness is a bad, bad thing because it slowly, continually takes you away from those that are in your life and from the will of God and from being for other people what God has wanted you to be. Life's not about my possessions. Now watch what he does here. Now Jesus is all of a sudden, he comes out of that parable, and it's a shocker, and all of a sudden he jumps in to the parable about being anxious. Isn't it amazing how we're anxious about so many things? About getting so many things, or having so many things, or having it just like we want. He says, and he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. I'm not to be anxious about that. Why? Because watch what he says. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. You see, life is more than this physical thing that we have to participate in because we live in this physical world. Because, see, that's really not life. That takes away from life. When you give yourself to your material desires, you're taking life from somebody that's close to you or somebody in your family or somebody that you could have made a difference in their life because you're attending all these things that you think life is about and it's not. Now, when I was a younger man, in my 30s, early 40s, I used to hunt a lot. I wrote for Nosler, wrote for Ammo Guide, was a staff writer for them, wrote for Guns and Ammo. Had all kinds of guns, and no, you couldn't borrow one of my fine custom rifles because you weren't taking my custom rifle out there and messing up my custom rifle. Well, you know what? I don't know how God worked it out of my life to help me see that what I was giving my time to, I was overdoing what I wanted to do and not giving attention to what God wanted me to do. Now, if you even want one of them, you can have it. Say, boy, Mike, I'm going to see you after the service tonight. Well, it won't do you any good because I sold all of them, but a couple of them gave the rest to my grandson. You know, life is more than body, food, clothing. We've got to start making it in the church about people. We're so worried about the form, the look, the shape, or how it seems instead of actually engaging people in their lives because we want to do that because we care about them. What are you going to take with you? Nothing. And which of you being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? Man, that is something. Who can even add an hour to his life? Have you really thought about it? What you're doing with your life right now? What possesses it most of the time? What drives it most of the time? What you're about most of the time? Really? Is life about you? Or is life about God and your neighbor? Because you love yourself enough to make it about God and your neighbor? We've got to quit putting the emphasis on the things that are of this world. They don't have any long-term meaning. But you know my friend down the street who's dying of lung cancer right now, and I'm trying to get a study with this man that lives in my neighborhood. That means something. And God knows whether or not we care about the man down the street who's dying. The man down the street who has lost a job. The man down the street who's lost a family member or a woman who's lost her husband. And so, let me ask you a question. Did you know evangelism is also engaged with the body because we help each other go to heaven? When's the last time you visited anybody in this congregation outside of being here? And I'm not talking about your good friend that you go see all the time, once a week, twice a week. I'm talking about, when's the last time you visited a brother and sister in Christ who's not a close friend, whom you don't have a lot in common with, but you really care and you want them to know that you care and that you're there? Oh, well, that's the elders? No, that's not the elders. There's some elders that need to do that. They don't do that. Some preachers need to do that, and they don't do that. But you're a child of God. So you find somebody in the body to engage with, much less somebody that might be a friend or a neighbor or somebody that you're trying to influence. You've got to realize that life has meaning only if I'm sacrificing as a living sacrifice, giving myself to them. That's my time, my energy, my effort, because I want good for them. I want something different for them. And I want to be pleasing to my Father because I want to be like Him. I don't want to be like the world. I was in the world. I want to be like Jesus. I'll never be flawless. But you know, I can be like my Master. And I can live like my Master. And until I let go of the world and begin to engage people, I cannot say that I gnoskomen. What do you mean gnoskomen? Know him. That's an experiential knowledge. That's just not knowledge I've got stored up here because I've got some facts. It's knowledge that comes from the fact that I actually tried to live it. Now I've experienced the result of loving somebody. And man, look how it's changing me. Look what difference it's made in my life. Look at the peace it's given me and the anxiety that it's brought down. You only know Jesus if you have decided to act upon His life, who He's like, to try what He's asked you to try, and you purposely engaged it for the reason that you wanted to experience what it's like to be like Jesus, and you don't know Him till you've done it. Well, I don't have time. Yeah, I know we don't. Because what are we spending our time on? What we think's important. What we think life is about. And not what God said life is about. And I'm going to ask the question again. When's the last time you got in your car, called somebody and said, "Hey, I'm going to drop by," or just drop by somebody in this congregation? When's the last time you did it? When's the last time you went to the hospital when you heard somebody was in there? Oh, I know, that's Kevin's job. You're paying him for that? No, you're not paying him for that. You do know that, don't you? That's not what you pay him for. Well, Mike, why would you want to make us feel guilty? If I don't have any guilt, I won't have any shame for my sinfulness. I won't have any shame for my selfishness or my covetousness. I won't be moved or pricked to change it, knowing that it is wrong and I want to be different. And I do want to impact people because I do love people. And I do want to make a difference in their life because I care. You know what's sad, don't you? A lot of times you don't even have time for your wife or your husband. No, listen to me. Well, I work all day long and I want to watch TV tonight. And she was wanting to talk. Yeah, but she'll ask 1,000 questions. Well, you don't have to answer. She didn't want an answer in the first place. She just wanted you to listen. Somebody to care. That lets her know she has a reason for all this she's doing. You know, the washing, the cleaning, the cooking, and by the way, putting up with you. You know I'm right. Time with your children. The little boy says, "Daddy, will you stay outside with me tonight?" Well, son, no, you stay outside, man. He might not be here tomorrow, neither will you, maybe. You stay out. Materialism, this world, the getting, the having, the wanting, eats us alive. That's not living, folks. That's a slow process of dying. And then you wonder why, when your kid grows up, they don't ever come and see you. Well, you never came out and saw them. You never threw the ball. You never went to their programs. Or you always had an excuse why you weren't going to do this or you couldn't do that. They didn't ask to come in this world. You brought them here. Show them you love them. Life is not in your possessions. It doesn't consist of your possessions. Let's finish. By the way, why are you talking on this tonight? I thought it was evangelism. Don't you understand this is killing evangelism? Don't you understand the very things that I'm talking about are killing evangelism because they're killing the very basic things we ought to be doing with each other anyway that we're supposed to love and close to, that we don't even reach out to those who are not immediate family or friends? Materialism and our covetousness is killing evangelism in the church today. And so, you know, well, let's construct a better-looking building. We'll get people here. And boy, that just gives into our materialism anyway. And that also gives an excuse for not going out because, man, look at the programs we offer. Why don't they come? Why didn't you go ask them to come? Why didn't you plead with your friend to come to worship with you? Why didn't you just talk to your friend one evening and sit down and just go over and see him and talk and sit down and let life stand still for a little bit? Oh, but we got this schedule. And I got to keep this schedule. Man, I could rush, boy. I mean, I could rush. Schooling, preaching, the jobs I held, trying to get things done that I thought needed to be done so that people would have this perception of me. Not anymore. You know what? Nobody has to like me anymore. I'm going to say that again.
Kevin can vouch for this. I don't need anybody to like me. I need to like them. I need to love them. I need to love God, and I want God pleased with me. I don't need people to like me, but I need to love and like them. I need to be their friend, even when they stop being my friend. I will continue to be their friend, because as a child of God, I understand what's eternally important, to be like my Father, who gave His Son, whom His Son said, love as I have loved you. You see, that's what life is really about. It's about loving and giving. It's not about getting and taking. It's about giving. It's about loving. It's about reaching out. Now, you know whether or not any of it applies. If you then are not able to do as small a thing as that, you know, add an hour to your life, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you know them. Instead, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. How did Jesus teach me how to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Trust Him. He'll take care of that. You be about His will. You be about the kingdom. No matter how He's blessed you circumstantially or how little that you have, you be about the kingdom. And He'll take care of the needs you have. Don't be envious that other people don't have the lot you have and you think they have a better lot. You don't go there. Instead, seek His kingdom and these things will be added to you. And I like how he ends this. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possession and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. Now wait, what did Jesus tell me to do? He said, sell your possessions. He didn't say you had to give them all away. He said, you sell them because you want to help those in need. Because you care about them. You don't have anything in life you really necessarily want to hold on to. I'm talking about the material things. And if you're holding on to something because you don't want to let it go and it keeps you from serving God, that will cost. He says at the end, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's it. What kind of heart do we in the church have today? What kind of heart do we have? One that is possessed by the world and all of the worries and the things of this world and what we tie ourselves up in and all of our schedules and everything else? Or is it one that gives, loves, doesn't hold on to the world, watch now, but holds on to God, holds the hand of Jesus as they follow Him, trusting that God will take care of all the needs that He knows that they have, and really putting your life in His hands. That's your job, your work, your family, your friends, your brethren, even your schedule. Put it all in God's hands and trust Him. And live it day at a time, looking for someone to give yourself to. Give yourself away, and you watch how it changes your life and the lives around you. By the way, I know that we come to worship and sometimes the assembly. That does not replace me going out among those I know and out among my brethren to touch their life. That the assembly does not replace that. So don't be a taker. You be a giver. And you ask yourself tonight, what kind of heart do you really have? What has your life really been about? How have you organized it? What's important to you? What are the priorities? Are you a taker? Are you a giver? Only two kinds of hearts. Those that take and those that give. And we wonder why evangelism suffers in the church today. Because many have stopped being givers. Remember, life is not in your possessions. Life is in Jesus. Life is always in Jesus. Life is always about Jesus. It's always about experiencing what He asked me to live so that I'll understand the love of God. You understand that if you don't act upon it, you can't understand the love of God. There won't be a lot of compassion. There won't be a lot of joy and gentleness and faithfulness. There won't be a lot of self-control in your life. You'll be someone who snaps at everybody around you sometimes. Jesus said, I give you one commandment. Love as I have loved you. Amen? And as the body, that's what we should be engaged in. So tonight, as we stand to sing the invitation song, if you have a need to turn that life back over to God that you've taken and you've run it your own way for a while, well then tonight you turn that over to Him as we stand and sing.